This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's how it always starts.
Overnight in New York City, a tense drama unfolding at Columbia University.
But then later there's running and screaming.
NYPD officers using a SWAT-style truck to enter Hamilton Hall by force.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We should have been a peaceful protest. It has basically been co-opted by professional outside agitators.
But I'm not going to be stampeded or blackjacked because some outside agitators themselves have accused us of police brutality.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I concede you have to be of a certain age to really appreciate the fact that Eric Adams is now and the City Hall operatives in New York City are using the same phrase as George Corley Wallace, the late Democrat governor of Alabama, who Tom Perez, the chairman of the DNC way back when, or the assistant chairman, claimed was a Republican. I don't think so, Tom. And I think you knew he wasn't a Republican, but, you know, it just went along with the narrative. And who was going to call you out on it after all? Anyway, welcome, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. So the Trump trial is taking its quote-unquote dark day today. And ironically, they did this. We've talked about this. They set it up so that normally a dark day is Friday, and it's especially important in a New York City trial because they have a high percentage of Jewish people in the jury pool, and they wanted to keep them, the Orthodox Jews, out of the Trump jury, off the Trump jury, because they would tend to be Trump supporters. So they instead of having a dark day on Friday the way most courts do across the country, more for the 3-day weekend than for the Jews, basically, in fact. But in New York they set it up for Wednesday. So now Trump is on the campaign trail. He's speaking in Waukesha. I never can pronounce that. Waukesha, Wisconsin, where the black militant ran over to Christmas parade a few years back and killed some white people and some Asians. And then later on, he's going to Michigan tonight. And there couldn't be a more perfect time for him to be on the campaign trail. I mean, with all of the arrests and the breakups of all the hippie Nazi college encampments last night and early this morning. And again, we've been talking about this, too, for weeks. Monkey see, monkey do on the college campuses. They start at the so-called elite or the formerly elite campuses, and then they move their way down. And now today, as Columbia has been busted up and NYU has been busted up, it moves to Fordham. Looks like it's the downtown campus. They got a Bronx campus and a downtown campus. I think they got different kinds of people at these two campuses. But so there are the downtown people, the people who wanted to go to Columbia, then tried to get into NYU and probably couldn't get into NYU. They ended up at Fordham. So now they've taken over. They've picked up the fallen sword. It the hilt of the sword. And, you know, it's just too much. But anyway, I want to play some of these cuts before we get any further. Trump's been saying some good stuff. Let me just play one cut for you from Trump here in Wisconsin this afternoon. Cut 23.
We had lots of options, and we're coming here. You remember last time, did Biden even show up? I don't think he showed up, right? I don't know. Somebody said he did show up. He was wandering in the parking lot just to make an appearance. He said, where am I? You're in Wisconsin. Where's that?
Does anyone doubt that? Can we have a fact check on that? I don't think there'll be a fact check on that one. Anyway, I just want to hear, I just want you to hear some of this stuff from Columbia last night. This was great. This was the shrieking going on. These guys are down for the struggle. They're, you know, power to the people. You know, if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. All those great 60s and 70s slogans, they're all in on them until, and, you know, everybody, what is it, Mike Tyson who said everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the nose. I mean, these people got punched in the nose last night. Cut 10. Were those males or females? Or how did they, were those male-presenting students or were they female-presenting students? Let's have some more shrieking. Stop it, you brute! How about this one? This is the keeper for a lot of people. Cut 13.
They just barricaded a
hole. Oh my God!
They're laughing.
No fucking way! It's finals. Can I go home?
It's finals. Can I go home? It's finals. Can I go home? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Here's some more hippies screaming at the NYPD. Cut 12.
Careful, careful.
Careful, careful. Ever notice that this anti-Semitic violence isn't happening at trade schools or Christian colleges where students actually learn valuable, high-demand skills? Yeah, I have noticed that. It's not going on. You know what? You know where else it's not going on? It's not going on at Boston College. There hasn't been any rioting or any of this crap going on at BC. And last night, after the interim chancellor at UNC, Chapel Hill, re-raised the American flag on the main flagpole on campus. The students surrounded it and guarded it so that the hippies and the Nazis couldn't take it back down again. 508, do NYPD policies require confirming pronouns before or after tasing and arresting? You know that in some cities, and I believe Boston is one of them, they can't ask you what your sex is anymore. I mean, or you don't have a choice between male, female. I don't even think they ask you anymore, but they do ask you what your pronouns are. That's now on the arrest form. What are your pronouns? It's kind of crazy what's going on, isn't it? 844-500-4242. 413, Frankie Frisch of the Fordham Flash must be spinning in his grave, says the Limerick guy. Didn't Vince Lombardi go to Fordham? Wasn't he one of the seven blocks of granite? That's what I was thinking of him. You know who else went to, come to think of it, you know who else went to Fordham for a couple of years before he transferred to the University of Pennsylvania? I believe Donald J. Trump went to Fordham, even though he's not a Catholic. I think he did. And, it's embarrassing to everybody who had any connection to any of these schools, even if you just taught there, you know. I mean, again, I, I'm you know, I'm not terribly embarrassed, but it makes me wince every time I see AOC, and I think I taught at BU for 3 years. Just again, I was just in, you know, just an adjunct professor, $1,000 a course, but still, it's embarrassing. 661, Joe Biden told Eric Adams, don't. Oh, man. Haven't heard one say, this can't be happening. This has to be a joke. There's one, though, and I put it on the poll question. It's really great. We have no sound of it, but New York Magazine wrote about it, and there's actually still photos of it, and people have tweeted it out. There's this school custodian slash janitor, and he's in Hamilton Hall, and they said, you got to get out of here. And he said, and he looks at him, and you know this is a guy, he's like the guys with the sprinklers at Harvard. He's been taking crap from these people for God only knows how long. And so he just says, you don't tell me what to do. He's wearing a Yankees cap. You know what they said to him? One of them, you don't make enough money to be doing this. And he just started pushing them away. And he was out. He was totally outnumbered. Of course, he was a man, you know, as opposed to these non-binary whatever they are. But that was
if the GM of the Yankees is worth his weight in salt, that custodian will be thrown out the first pitch this season.
You know what? He should be, and he should also be honored at the first Giants and Jets game of the football season, just on general principles for being a sports fan, even though it's in, even though the stadium's in New Jersey. 8-4, you know what? He does deserve to be lionized. 844-500-4242. By the way, at 4 o'clock, a little after four, we will be joined by another great American Afro man, the rapper, who has had many great rap songs, and his most recent one may be his greatest, Hunter.
He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them pics, but Hunter got high.
It's a beautiful song, and it's got everything in it. It's got Hillary Clinton bleach bits. It's got Ukraine. It's got China. It's got $80,000 a month from Burisma. I mean, it's a civics lesson in a rap song under 4 minutes long. It's beautiful. 844-500-4242. Cut 10 sounds like a riot at the zoo. That's exactly what it was. It was the Hamilton Hall Zoo in Morningside Heights. Auctions are one of the oldest forms of commerce known to man. Auctions are how economies determine values for assets and commodities. Auctions are not a fire sale at a discounted price. Rather, auctions are an accelerated sale with competitive pricing. So, just because your parents listed their house at sale at a set price doesn't mean you have to. J.J. Manning's accelerated auction process is one of the fastest growing segments in real estate. Manning's time-tested approach began over 16,000 auctions ago in 1976 with its founder, Jerome Manning. What are the main benefits of a J.J. Manning accelerated sale versus a traditional listing at a set price? In the Manning method, there are no contingencies. In the Manning method, the buyer signs our exclusive P&S and makes a 10% non-refundable deposit that day. In the Manning method, you set the terms, which all buyers must follow. J.J. Manning uses their own 30-30 marketing plan. 30 days of marketing saturation and 30 days to close. No deviations to the purchase, and the buyer's feet are kept to the fire. To learn more on how to get your commercial, residential, or land sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your real estate sold. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show. He's Howie Carr, and he's back.
844-500-4242. Before we do the poll question, I'm going to play one of the cuts from yesterday. Joanna King Slutsky. For that is indeed her name. Joanna King hyphen Slutsky.
And I get compliments on the hyphen.
Sure you would, yeah.
Meet Joanna King Slutsky, a graduate student at Columbia.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who've taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for.
Like basic humanitarian aid. Here's her page, her Facebook or web page at Columbia University, now removed. My dissertation is on fantasies of limitless energy in the transatlantic romantic imagination from 1760 to 1860. I've been waiting for a book about this. I don't know about you. This is a good beach reading. My goal is to write a prehistory of metabolic rift, Marx's term for the disruption of energy circuits caused by industrialization under capitalism. I am particularly interested in theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens in order to update and propose an alternative to historicist ideological critiques of the romantic imagination. Prior to joining Columbia? I worked as a political strategist for leftist and progressive causes and remain active in the higher education labor movement. Listen, Ms. Slutsky, you can be in higher education, you can be in labor, but you can't be in both. They are mutually exclusive. By the way, she also works as a freelance digital strategist. I'd certainly hire her after she said that she was worried about the students dying of dehydration at Columbia. Anyway, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarShow.com, is what was your favorite part of the Columbia University bust? King Slutsky claiming Nazi hippies would die of dehydration, co-eds screaming as they were lugged by New York Police Department officers, co-eds screaming, "It's finals, can I go home?" Janitor in Yankees cap slugging a Nazi, or City Hall saying protests were started by outside agitators.
I'm going with the Yankees janitor.
That's in the lead, 33%. 21% say King Slutsky. 18% say co-ed screaming or it's finals, can I go home? 10% say City Hall saying the protests were started by outside agitators.
They're all good, though. They're all good. It made me happy. I turn off the TV. I don't turn on the TV at night anymore. And then I read and listen to music. So I didn't know until this morning that they'd rounded them all up. And boy, did it get the day off to a good start. Brian, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick one. I don't know if your team can find the audio from one of the campuses where they brought the mounted unit in.
Yeah.
And it was priceless. They were.
Oh, yeah. No, we had it yesterday. We had it yesterday. You can't. That was in Texas at UT Austin. Yeah. You can't bring horses in here.
I had a buddy's father was a TPF Boston when we were kids, so they were great.
Right. No, I've been talking about TPF for weeks to saying that they would know how to handle this. And I was saying the manure.
Whoa. Bring it back. Hey, do not bring horses into here. Do not bring horses into here. What are you doing? This is insane.
It's a remake of Ben-Hur. How will we make a remake of Ben-Hur if we don't have some horses in here for the chariots? Come on. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
781 says, were all the Colombian Nazis arrested, released with no bail, with a court appearance scheduled in the year 2030? Yeah, just about. Fox News was interviewing them as they were being let go. They were all wearing masks, of course, to protect themselves because they're so proud of being Nazis. And one woman was going, like, I'm not a media, like, professional, dude. Can you, like, totally talk to somebody else? Like, you know, Miss Mix Slotsky, you know? I mean, they're so bad. There was a column in the Wall Street Journal today from some guy from Harvard who was a student there in the 70s, and he was leading one of the pro-Israeli groups, and he went into the campus, and he said that he thought they'd engage in some kind of debate, and they were going, like, I don't know too much about it. I'm like a student, man. And he's going, you go to Harvard. This is supposed to be the best college in the country, and you're saying you're ignorant and you're stupid, even though you're out here in the yard.
Yeah, and people always say, there's been conversations about if these protesters are just lacking something in their lives beyond just intelligence. But if, you know, they put down their climate signs, they pick up the Palestinian protester signs. And you're right, Howie, a lot of these people who are going to the protest, they don't even know what they're there for. There was that woman who I believe was from NYU showed up at Columbia. She just wanted to be part of it. She didn't know what she was taking part in. But hey, seems like there's a lot of commotion.
Party time, man.
Yeah. Kegger. I want in.
Yeah.
I'm different. If I see commotion, I want to head the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned that walking back from the State House to the Herald some nights late through the combat zone. If you see problem, cross the street.
Yeah.
There may be another strip joint on the other side of Washington Street, but as long as there's nobody outside with a knife, you're better off on the other side
of the
street.
Don't break up any fights. Howie Carr was not breaking up any brawls.
No, you can go. You could interview people for 100 years, and you would never see anyone talking about me breaking up a fight.
Well, Howie, the wife of a convicted terrorist was hanging out at the Columbia encampment before the dramatic raid. The wife of an ex-college professor and convicted of terrorism-related charges was spotted hanging out at Columbia University.
Is this the 63-year-old broad?
I don't know her age, but her name is Sammy, or she's the wife of Sami El Arian.
I don't know him.
Yeah, Adams said the NYPD has already started to identify individuals who weren't Columbia students before cops were given the green light late Tuesday to oust a pro-terrorist.
See, this is the thing about it. I mean, Eric Adams, I think, is on to something here with the outside agitators, because there's a lot of these people don't appear to be students. I told you, you know, I mentioned it in my column on Sunday, the 57, the 56-year-old at Emerson College. You saw the ones, USF, University of South Florida. I mean, that was a scruffy-looking crew.
There's,
I mean, they look like
the
people
the
that I used to see in the combat zone, actually, some of them, you know?
They've seen some things.
Yeah. I don't know. He's on to something. And they had this woman who's 63. Did you see that? Fox had some footage of her. I don't know if we pulled any of that or not.
But Howie, it's very possible that there's outside agitators, and that also these students have been in a petri dish of indoctrination for the last 20 years, and they are ripe for this kind of revolution intifada nonsense. Like, there can be two things at play.
If you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything. And yes. You know, usually we use that in terms of religion, but it applies to politics certainly. Especially if your politics is your religion. You know,
and wasn't there a deputy commissioner who was talking about the lock at Columbia? And he said, you know, this is not a lock that students would have. This is professional. So there's been more than one person corroborating this idea that there's outside agitators involved.
The Nazi that the janitor slugged, he didn't look like a student either. He looked like a thug, you know, just, you know, like an Albanian gang member from the Bronx.
Well, the Biden administration has another idea that they're floating now. They're considering accepting Gazan refugees.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong? Now let me ask you something. We talked about this a little yesterday afternoon. Egypt, which is next door, does not accept Palestinian refugees. Jordan, which is also next door, does not accept Palestinian refugees. They have a lot of mass graves in Egypt and Jordan from the last time they accepted Palestinian refugees. And that's why they're not going to do it again. And those are their Arab Muslim brothers.
Yeah. And we in the U.S. have generally, and this is from the New York Post, not permitted Palestinians into the country en masse. But Joe Biden is, you know, everything he does is unprecedented. It's historic. It's record-breaking. So perhaps he'll change it up. But Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, he responded to this and said, "Hogwash. President Biden consistently undermines our national security with reckless decisions like this. We have no clue who is coming into our country, whether on our southern border or from war-torn regions run by terrorists. Not a single Hamas sympathizer should be let into this country, and I will use every resource at my disposal to ensure this radical Biden policy never sees the light of day." But again, a lot of times I think they just float things out there just to see what the response is.
Right. Exactly. Officer Mark says, having to add the personal pronouns to the Miranda rights reading must really lengthen the arrest process. Zer have the right to remain silent. I'm not a Zer. I'm a Gagoo.
It says U.S. officials have reportedly been considering various arrangements. I really like this line. To gain entrance into the U.S., would-be refugees would likely need to pass screenings.
Likely, right. Like they did from Afghanistan.
Yeah, I don't think we're really doing that as much anymore. Howie, I wanted to switch gears here and give you a topic that has not been really part of this discussion at all. Karine Jean-Pierre had a briefing today, and she was asked about her assessment of the risk to the U.S. with the milk and meat supply from the bird flu epidemic in cattle. Did you hear this cut yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, now bear with us. This is Karine Jean-Pierre's response.
Epidemic in cattle.
Yeah, so I know that the Department of Agriculture has been on top of this. I know that they are not seeing any concerns to milk or any of the cattle or the meat or meat that we're consuming. Well, I don't consume a meat, but some of you, all of you out there. And so obviously they are taking this very seriously. They're monitoring the situation. As far as we understand it to be, is that they believe that milk and consuming meat is safe.
Very reassuring.
This is the spokesperson. And are we curious as to why there was an attempted coup on Karine Jean-Pierre? For people who don't know that story from the New York Post, you should go read it. I think it was Steven Nelson. It was very interesting how they were trying to give her this like sweetheart job with the Emily's List.
Yeah, but they didn't, you know, yeah, they were trying to work her out. I mean, the reason they didn't give her the job in the first place was they knew she was an idiot and that she was lazy. But she demanded it when Jen Psaki decided to cash out. And now you usually have this job for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And she's over a year and a half, and she refuses to leave. And they gave her another job where she could, be totally incompetent and nobody would ever notice it, because someone would write the letters for Emily's List and she could go and shake hands at a cocktail party and all that stuff.
But she's not going to make it easy for them, which I appreciate.
No, you know, the thing is, too, that it was nice to read. I mean, it's obvious every day when you hear her. But it was nice to have the White House people themselves say she doesn't prepare. She's just extremely lazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of clear, isn't it? How about what she was saying today about it? They've been mostly peaceful. And as long as they're peaceful, they can be very peaceful. But when they stop being peaceful, and then we don't have mostly peaceful protests.
Perhaps you also know that hot dog is my favorite meat.
Yeah, I just, you know, someone on social media had a really good take on this. They said it's when you hire someone not based off merit, it's hard to fire them based off merit.
Right.
Like if you hire someone because they check all these boxes, and then you want to turn around and say, well, we're firing you, but not because of any of that. We're firing you because you're just not good at
it.
It doesn't work.
Right. Well, I mean, Claudine Gay probably could have gotten away with like 35 instances of plagiarism. But when it got over 40.
That's what did her in.
Yeah.
The number was just too high. Howie, I wanted to read you this. This is actually from the Dorchester Reporter, but it was picked up by Red State. Bostonians who have long faced tough hurdles to secure gun licenses compared to suburban peers are pressing state lawmakers to ease those restrictions as new gun reform legislation advances on Beacon Hill. Black Bostonians are demanding that their Second Amendment rights be respected.
Good. Oh, that's a good story. I like that.
Yeah.
That should be in the Herald.
The calls on behalf of expanding Second Amendment rights are coming from men and women of color who live in Dorchester and Mattapan. State Representative Russell Holmes, who represents parts of both of those neighborhoods, says he is paying attention to their calls. Here's what he said. It's a legal right they're asking for, and I need to open my eyes to the fact that folks in my community feel their Second Amendment rights are being infringed upon. He said, and then also Representative Chris Worrell said, am I a gun person? No, I'm not a gun guy and don't own a gun. But there are a lot of people here in the neighborhood who want to exercise their Second Amendment rights and obtain a license and have not been able to. And that's actually something I talk about with Toby Leary all the time, that a lot of gun control is racist at its core.
Yeah, it is. You know who one of the biggest proponents of the Second Amendment was in the Civil War years? Harriet Tubman. And she actually was brought in to help out with a slave rebellion during the Civil War. You know, yeah. she lived in Boston, and yeah. she had a lot of guns.
Well, yeah, and it's like if people in these communities are going to be if they're going to be surrounded by crime, which is what's happening in a lot of these Democrat-run cities, then they should be able to protect themselves.
Right, and I mean, and look what happens in New York. I mean, sometimes these people defend themselves, and then the cops come in and they arrest them for not having a license. And there's a reason why, and as this proves, there's a reason in some cases, not all cases, why they don't have a license, because they can't get one. But it's also tough for everybody to get a license in Boston.
Yeah, and actually in this article in Red State, Jeff Charles goes into what it takes to obtain a license in Boston. And mm-hmm. I know this from living in Boston when Will was trying to get one. Not only does it cost money, you have to pay a $100 fee, but it is, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. And
right, you got to get someone to write a letter of recommendation for you. Yeah. Among other things. It's ridiculous.
And, thanks, Howie.
Okay, thank you, Grace. We'll be right back with a cheap bastard deal in just a moment. 844-500-4242. Perfect Smiles is growing. Dr. Houghton has brought on two new dentists, Dr. Tsai and Dr. Tam. Both have their own specialties in dentistry. This means the wait time to get an appointment at Perfect Smiles just got shorter. Perfect Smiles will be my first checkup as I return to New England, as I have returned to New England. I'll be going there next week, as a matter of fact. I've had it on the calendar since before I left for Florida last fall. I've learned how important it is to keep up my dental cleanings. Poor oral health is linked to so many problems, so many diseases. The hygienists at Perfect Smiles are also the best. Dr. Houghton and his entire team take the time to take many continuing education classes so they can remain up to date on all the latest advancements in dentistry. Do not procrastinate. Make your appointment with Perfect Smiles today. They are conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire, right off Route 3. Parking is easy and free. You can visit them online at perfectsmiles.com and watch my testimonial video. Or you can call them at 603-595-6699. Take a listen to my Meet the Experts podcast with Drs. Houghton, Tam, and Tsai. I think you will be very interested in what you hear. Get your smile ready for summer. PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after this short break. The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
Stand by. 110 Grill, modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. They have over 30 locations in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and New York. It's a you're sure to find a 110 Grill not too far from you. While supplies last, and they won't last long, as you know, you can purchase a gift card valued at $50 for just $25. But with so many locations, these will sell out fast. Get yours now. Go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store to order your gift cards today. With us now to tell us more about what the 110 Grill has in store for the rest of the spring is Stephen Talley, Director of Training and Development for the 110 Grill. Stephen, it's almost Mother's Day. What do you got?
We are excited to be offering our brunch menu again. We also offered it on Easter, and it was such a hit. We're going to bring it back for Mother's Day. Starting at 10 a.m., we're going to be offering brunch for all parties that are coming in the building, and we'll offer that menu through 3 o'clock. And then we will also, side-by-side, be offering our normal core menu, which we've just updated, and have some great, fresh, vibrant dishes to go along with that. But we'll be offering that from 11:30 through the normal hours of operation. But our brunch menu is pretty expensive, so we're extremely excited to have crab and egg flatbread, which has got some lump crab meat on it, some scrambled eggs, some spinach with some white cheddar cheese. My favorite is the Banana Foster stuffed French toast. It's got Banana Foster cream cheese filling, and we've topped that with some sea salt caramel sauce, some maple syrup. We also have a crab cake Benedict that has some jumbo lump crab cakes.
Sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah. No, they're phenomenal. And then our homemade lemon hollandaise covers all of that stuff. And what better way to wash it down with a nice Cinnamon Toast Crunch martini? It has a little rum chata, some vanilla vodka, and some cinnamon whiskey. So it tastes just like you're eating the French Toast Crunch cereal.
So patio season is upon us. All the 110 Grills have the patios, and it's just fantastic once the weather warms up. And it's going to be getting warmer, as we all know. Plus, after Mother's Day, we have graduations, and assuming they're not canceled where your graduate is getting out of, and they're probably not. And we have the wedding season, and so you have private dining rooms, and that's a good deal too, isn't it, Stephen Talley?
Absolutely. So most of our restaurants have a private dining room. The positive thing about our private dining room is we do not charge a room fee. It's all based on service and based on what your consumption would be for that day. And all those private dining rooms also come with plated packages for that space if you would like. And we're happy to put together a nice little menu for you and take care of every one of your needs from soup to nuts. We're ready to go for that. We also offer catering as well. So if you're having a graduation party at your house or in a park, we're happy to provide the food for your catering event. We're really excited for this season because it's typically one of our busiest, and we enjoy being busy and on the go.
And you know, it's everybody's favorite American cuisine. The 110 Grill, and you also have this great loyalty program that maybe some people haven't heard about. But to explain how the loyalty program works at the 110 Grill.
Sure, absolutely. So our loyalty program, as I've mentioned before, is extremely robust. We're very proud of it. For every dollar you spend, you earn 1 point. After you've earned 110 points, you receive $10 off. And you are more than welcome to use that $10 off immediately any way you'd like to use them, or you can accrue them and have a nice little experience with a significant other or have a date night. However you want to use them, we're happy to make that happen for you. And we're very excited to also have our anniversary dates. As long as you sign up, your anniversary month will be the month that you sign up. You will receive a dessert complimentary for signing up for loyalty. And then if you have a birthday month coming up, we will also honor a free dessert for your birthday as well.
Boy, that's great. What a great deal. And again, the 110 Grill, it's such a successful chain of restaurants. People just love it. Our listeners love it so much. They go crazy when they can't get in on it. But even if you can't get anything today, and we hope you do get in today, we're sold out again. But you know, it's still a great place to go. If you don't know where the location is, how do people find out where their closest location is, Stephen Talley?
Well, the easiest way to do it is to go to our website, 110grill.com, and view the locations. Or you can go to our our app and just search your location, and it'll bring up the closest location for you.
And when you go, get up, join up with the loyalty program. I'm Howie Carr.